You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
Let's talk about six, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about six.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast with me, Robbie Musto, and him, Robbie Earle. And Liverpool Football Club have won the UEFA Champions League 2018-2019 season, Robbie Earle. I'm not sure it was a great game, but it's a result, and it's a result that matters. And Liverpool got the result 2-0 in Madrid, Spain. Just give us your first kind of general impressions, Rob, of this all-English matchup.
I have to say, Rob, and it doesn't particularly give me any pleasure, I thought it was a disappointing final. When you think of what the competition's been this year, the Champions League has been magnificent with what it's given us, what it's proved with the drama, the excitement. We think of the semi-finals and Liverpool getting through past Barcelona and Spurs getting past Ajax. It kind of felt, and it was a final, Rob, of two Premier League teams. And I think the hope, I think my hope was that we saw high intensity, maybe a little bit end-to-end. Two teams who are fluid, who have possession, who can really create and make things happen. It ended up being a little bit like one of those Premier League games, Rob, that's an early kickoff, a 12 noon kickoff, and everybody's not quite ready for it.
But didn't you expect, I mean, with two teams that it's so huge for both football clubs.
I get that.
Two teams that know each other inside and out, Rob. They've played against each other so many times.
Absolutely get it, all that.
Didn't we? I expect it to.
Did you expect what you got?
Be.
Did you expect what you got?
Yeah, kind of did.
See,
if we had got a really good game of football, that's a massive bonus. It's such a big game. It's so important. It was always going to be a bit safe. And a bit, no one's going to take any risks. No one's going to fly forward. No one's going to try and do anything kind of a spectacular to try and really influence the game in case they're the guys that make a mistake. It's very cagey, very tight, a little bit nervy.
I totally get your point. Although, again, I had better, maybe bigger expectation. Maybe that's the romantic in me that wants that. But I have to say, and the point you make about the nervousness and the way the game and what was at stake, do you not think a goal or a goal opportunity apparently given after 26 seconds changes the whole dynamic of the game?
Yeah, well, it does. It does, which we'll talk about in a second. But that's still a long time, Rob, for everybody to do their thing,
to influence the game. In a strange way.
Did it change Liverpool?
I thought it changed Liverpool. I thought it took a little bit of edge out of Liverpool to the point where we're one up. There was a tentative performance about Liverpool that I didn't used to see. I thought it almost threw them off a little bit. And in some respects, certainly in terms of possession, Spurs, certainly in the early first 30 minutes of the game, had better possession of the ball.
I mean, we watched it together.
Yeah.
And I remember looking to you and saying, because Spurs came on kind of strong after that, up towards half time. And I'm saying to you, Liverpool got to start playing again. Because you're right. They didn't start playing again. They weren't on the front foot to attack. They didn't need to attack.
No.
And it made a different kind of natural position for them, the way that they approached the game after that.
Yeah.
The penalty, Rob, let's get to that, because it happened really quickly in the game. And let me just say this first of all. Now, I know it was on June the 1st. And I know that there's a new bunch of interpretations and rules that are coming in, but they weren't in place for this game, Rob.
No,
it's the 25th or something. It's 25th of June or something. There's some competitions. Yeah. So this isn't the new set of interpretations for handball. So we're back to kind of as it always has been. And I think we agree on this. We've chatted about it, of course. Yeah. It's very harsh, okay, because we saw the ball deflect off the chest, the pectoral, if you like, and then straight onto the arm.
Yeah.
And his arm, his arm is out, he's pointing, Sissoko's pointing, and it kind of catches him underneath the arm as well, just after the chest.
Yeah.
But, Rob, we're missing something, because the referee was right there, the VAR, look at incidents like this, for potential penalty kick and et cetera. They looked at it and said it's still a handball. So what are we missing?
What we're missing is that European interpretation of the game is, and let's just be totally frank about this, if the ball hits any part of your hand or arm in the penalty box, it's going to be a penalty kick. That's it. Forget that his chest was up. Forget that he was pointing. Forget that he's not deliberate. Forget that he's not making himself bigger to protect the thing. If the ball hits your arm inside the penalty box
you're in trouble.
Or based on what we saw, let's remember, the referee didn't even go and look. It wasn't one of those where
they were very sure
it hit his hand.
And VAR was sure too.
Yeah, so it did hit his hand, so it's a penalty. The circumstances of how it hit his hand at the moment doesn't seem to matter, Rob.
I looked at the new interpretation to see what's going on, and there is, we'll get into it, I guess, next season, Rob, but now a free kick against handball can be accidental. And they give some scenarios, making himself bigger. And I guess with his arm up there, he was making himself bigger. But correct. In the next sort of bunch of interpretations, where it's not going to be given, even if it's accidental, is if it comes off another part of your body. If you play the ball onto your arm, then it's not going to be a handball. So I know this is not in yet.
Yeah.
I just don't know where those guys in the game thought... they got the benefit of the replays. Didn't they see that it deflected off his chest?
They must have decided. I'll tell you what else is going to happen here. I'm telling you 100% what's going to happen. If I was playing in the game, I'd do the same.
Well, I know
I'd start kicking the ball straight at people's hands.
This is what we said all along.
I'll kick it at your hands. It's at your hand and everybody will say penalty kick.
Yep.
And under interpretations of it is, you're going to see more of that defenders with their hands behind the back running towards the ball
than ever before.
Because any ball that touches your hand is going to be a penalty.
But which is incredibly unnatural, Rob, to play with your arms pinned to your hips.
It's totally changing the game. It's changing the game. I hate it.
Can we just rewind 5 years, Rob, and go back to the very basic element of this law? It's got to be deliberate.
Yeah.
So if it's your arm, when you unless your arm is spread out and it's pretty obvious you're making yourself bigger, it's just accidental. It continues.
Football doesn't go back, Rob, unfortunately. It goes forward. And going forward. And we maybe, and our listeners and people who watch the game, are going to have to maybe start to be more broader with our thoughts and look at these interpretations.
That's why I'm saying we're missing something.
Yeah, we must be missing something that European football is dictated. That was clear to the referee. Right. There wasn't even any doubt. No. And the people in VAR, that's clear. So while we're going, how's he given that? Yeah. It's come off his chest and all the reasons the chest thing must be
something they don't kind of look for. And basically saying, well, his arm is way out because he was pointing, but that doesn't matter. It was way out and the ball... pretty much simultaneously. I mean, it just flicked off. They said, that's hands. His hand is in an unnatural position. It's away from his body. It wasn't like a knee onto the arm. It was very close to his upper chest or whatever. So they gave it.
That being said, Rob, you said it was 26 minutes. Salah takes a penalty, finds the back of the net. Do you think it ruined the game in some way? Did it change?
I don't think it ruined the game. It certainly changed the flow of the game. You're right. I think Liverpool changed the way that they were playing after that. Spurs a bit more on the front foot. Mm. It's football, isn't it? It's football. You've got to find a way at 1-0 down. You've got backs. You've got loads of time for Spurs. Sure. And Liverpool have to find a way to either continue to attack, which they normally do, or, as they did in this game, defended very well.
Yeah.
Defended very well. And we know that that's what's changed about Liverpool from this season to previous seasons. Mm. The goalkeeper situation, of course, is very different now from where we were a year ago against Real Madrid with Loris Karius. Alisson, top-class goalkeeper. But I thought his back four and Liverpool's defensive kind of abilities were what won this. What won it?
I wrote the same thing. One of my little lines that I was writing just earlier. Game was won by Liverpool's defending more than Liverpool's attacking.
Yeah.
I thought the attackers were... and the defenders were excellent with the goalkeeper.
And that's what Liverpool has...
Have got now. Have added to what they had before, hasn't it?
So a single goal. Mm. So from last year or previous seasons, you'd still think they might concede. Yeah. Well, they did concede a lot of goals.
Yeah, yeah.
And now that's different. So they can win 1-0. They can win in different ways. They can play counter-attack football, which I thought they were going to get another... Well, they did get another goal later on.
Yeah.
But I thought we'd see more of that. We'd see more threat and more opportunities for them. We didn't really until the second goal goes in. But no, defensively very strong. Virgil van Dijk... Rolls-Royce, I mean, like, just cruising.
Value Van Dijk is his new name. I mean, whatever you pay for him. I mean, there was one situation, Rob, in the game late on, and I know we were maybe talking about initials, but you brought it up, that Heung-min Son was going on one of those Heung-min Son runs where he's traversing between people.
He kind of got through,
and he's on the last man with Virgil van Dijk, and Van Dijk showed his presence, his strength. He got across the line of Son to just body him and then made a tackle. Was just playing, put it out for a corner kick, didn't take any risk. Mm. And do you know what it reminded me? In my head, I went, wow, what brilliant defending that is. And it took me back to, and it's funny, it's the same team. Remember the one-on-one with Sissoko when Sissoko's trying to play it to Son at Anfield?
And
he cut him off twice. And it's just the art of defending. Mm. The art of defending. And as I was thinking, I was looking at maybe what we're seeing next year. Gosh, do Arsenal need something like that?
Oh.
Gosh, do Man United need something like that? Mm. You know, Liverpool needed something like that maybe 2-3 years ago. They went and spent the money.
And he was there.
He was available.
He was there playing in a Premier
Liverpool
League.
Took the risk, and look at the rewards that they're getting.
There's a calmness about him, Rob, that I find most impressive. Yeah. So we know he's quick. We know he's good on the ball. We know he's a giant and head balls out. But the way he does it, almost playing within himself,
it's
almost like he's never going to get injured.
I've got this. I've got this, guys.
Stop panicking.
I've got it.
Very calm. Mm.
It's a great
mentality. There's no rashness in his makeup whatsoever. And I thought, like you, a couple of situations where they needed him, he was fantastic back there. And the whole back four, played tight.
Yeah.
I mean, just very, very good, given you know, the Spurs lineup. Should we talk about the Spurs lineup?
Let's get to Spurs lineup, because that was interesting, yeah. We debated, hadn't we, last week, pre the game, who might start. Harry Winks did get the start out of Dier. Obviously, the trust in him that Pochettino's got.
I thought he would go with Dier.
Yeah, you thought maybe Dier.
We both thought that Kane would start.
I
certainly thought, I can't remember what you said now,
Lucas Moura. Lucas Moura would start, and we thought Son might be the guy on the bench that Dele and Eriksen would play because of what they bring.
So what did you think? What did you think of the way that Poch set them up? It's kind of a 4-2-3-1.
Yeah, surprised. I thought Moura would be in the 11. So I have to say, I thought if you're going to drop one, it would be Son. Mm. I just thought that maybe he can come off the bench in a different way. I just thought, when Moura's got a hat-trick and all that had gone on, he was going to be part of it. Harry Kane started,
Bobby
Musto.
Yeah, what do you think?
Well, the game, the performance, the result showed that it was a wrong decision. And it was a wrong decision. First half, Robbie completed 4 passes. He dribbled past no defenders. He had no shots on goal. Harry Kane was prepared. He wasn't ready. He wasn't ready. He was prepared. And I was trying to think what's the right analogy. And this certainly isn't derogatory of Kane. It was like preparing the turkey for Thanksgiving. They got him ready to play in a big game, but he wasn't 100%. There was times he couldn't jump properly. He was getting beat by headers. There was times he was going into challenges and kind of half going. He wasn't the right Harry Kane. Now, they've got Harry Kane in the team, and I absolutely know why. If Spurs create 4 or 5 chances going across the box, inside the 6-yard box, 8-yard box, Harry Kane is still good enough and has the intelligence and intellect to get on the end of them.
Is he one of those that's got to be fit, though? Is he one of those that's got to be 95?
There's got to be enough chances. I didn't think Spurs created enough chances for Harry Kane to get the goals that he would get. I still think 70% Kane, with Spurs rattling balls across the 6-yard box, he still knows how to pick somebody off. Because that's a movement.
Yeah, but
that's
70, you could say he was 70%. And you're saying that he shouldn't have started the game.
Yeah, because Spurs, Spurs didn't make those chances for him at 70%. So I'd rather go 100% Moura than 70% Kane, based on what Spurs didn't do with their possession of the ball.
Mm. Harry Winks was the other decision in midfield that I think he's a brilliant player. I've got to say,
he's
not a defensive, not particularly strong, maybe physically.
He does it differently, doesn't he?
He does it differently.
In a different way, yeah.
And he cuts out a lot of stuff, but he's such a nice footballer. Mm. Always wants to take the ball, always wants to try and play. That was good. I thought him to play alongside Moussa Sissoko in the middle of the park was good for Spurs, but they never really hurt Liverpool enough, Rob. You know, that midfield of of Liverpool's with Fabinho playing, by the way. So quickly on that midfield, that was where we weren't quite sure what Milner's going to play. Fabinho's going to play. He left Milner out.
Yeah, Wijnaldum and Henderson.
So he really trusts Fabinho now, isn't he?
Yeah, really trusts his guy, hasn't he?
Yeah, for the middle.
More so that Henderson's got a little bit more license to go and make things happen.
It feels a bit of a nicer blend when Henderson can get forward, when Wijnaldum can get forward, other than James Milner. That's
Fabinho's maturing into that defensive midfield. You know, he could be the Fernandinho, couldn't he?
Yeah.
He can play defensively. He understands that role. He blocks things off. We saw against Barcelona how important he was. Mm. I mean, big step up for him. And next season could be on to bigger and better things.
I mean, just the general game again. What Spurs lacked something, Rob, didn't they? But what is it they're lacking right now in that particular game that they couldn't hurt Liverpool? Is it just that Liverpool's defending was good and they're a groove system in the 4-3-3?
And I think we've had this argument. I think Spurs are kind of doing as well as they can. Spurs to win the Champions League, and we talked about it. Dele Alli had to be on the great Dele Alli making runs for him. Christian Eriksen has to be getting hold of that ball and dictating the play.
Absolutely
their good players have
to
be
their very, very best.
And they weren't. Yeah. There were some weren't fit, some were below the best, and that's why they are. They're not as good as Liverpool right now.
No.
Before the game, we said they were favourites. Yeah. Liverpool are favourites.
Yeah, and we said for Spurs to win the game, they've got to have these guys to play at their very best, and they didn't. And you throw in Harry Kane. Mm. That I think we thought he if he's anywhere near, we wanted him playing.
It's a hard one for Poch. If you don't play him and they lose, everyone goes, "Oh, you got Harry Kane." If you do play him and you lose, so I'm not particularly blaming Poch and making the decision. I'm saying it's a gamble he took. It didn't work out, and Harry Kane was 70% and wasn't able to influence the game in the way he would have wanted.
Mm. James Milner being left out, it's kind of sad to see that.
Tough call, sad, but absolutely perfect managing, because it's the right thing to do. Mm. And it was the right thing to do to bring him on the pitch when he did.
And again, just thinking about the manager, Jurgen Klopp, and what he did in terms of the subs. I mean, he's got everything pretty much right, Robin.
Yeah.
I mean,
sometimes
you raise an eyebrow when he makes substitution. Of course, Roberto Firmino has been such an important player.
Yeah.
And he was the guy that everybody wanted fit. He was fit. He started the game. And then he came out kind of early, and Origi goes in again and gets another.
He's done it. He's done it through the season. But let's just have a little pause on that one. Firmino came in for Liverpool. He was the one who'd been missing end of last season. Fit enough to start, probably not proper match fit. Around 60 minutes. His manager goes, "Okay, we've had it. Give me an hour. Off you come." Harry Kane, Jurgen Klopp, same position. All 90 minutes of the game. Does Poch make those similar calls that Klopp would make? Is Harry Kane his guy? Does he get enamoured by the Harry Kane, he's my captain, he's one of ours and all that? Does he not make some of those kind of calls?
Were we asking for Lucas Moura earlier than when he came on?
Yeah. I'm
and
saying,
that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
To make bigger changes to affect.
Go make a big, go make, you know, Harry, it's not your day. You've given us an hour. Great. We're still intact. It's 1-0. Lucas Moura, go and run it. Van Dijk, give him a different problem.
We said again before the game that Harry Kane, you know, if he's real close to fitness, should play. Mm. But you still sort of think with Matip and Van Dijk, quick runs in behind, sharp players of Moura and Son, might have been a better chance of them of upsetting Liverpool's back four more than Kane kind of just running between them and trying his best.
You get that he starts, and when you realise maybe the Kane thing isn't working, that's when I'm thinking, do it earlier. Mm. Do it early. Give yourself a chance of something else. Don't you know, as much as we love Harry and no one loves us more than we've given praise, if it's not his day, it's not his day. Mm. He has to come off and the team go and try and get something. There's no guarantee. We just think give Matip and Van Dijk a different kind of problem, because they were coping with what Spurs had.
Do you think Pochettino will have some regrets on it then? Of course, after the game, he makes the decisions that he feels at that moment in time. Do you think he'll look back and think he might have done something differently?
I think all good managers would do that. I think all good minds would say, wonder if I'd give Lucas Moura 30 minutes.
Yeah, wanted to play Harry Kane, but looking back now,
was that the right decision? And that might be part of his learning. That might be part of what we're saying is Poch going to the next stage. And again, I'm not saying he did right, because it's easy after the event to say, should have started Lucas Moura. No, I think it was the right thing to start Harry Kane. Where I have an issue is to leave Kane on for the whole 90 minutes. Mm. when Lucas Moura might have bought you something fresher.
We will go on and kind of talk bigger picture of both the football clubs, Rob. Yeah. But just a quick kind of thought about the Champions League knockout phase and how great it's been, and those semi-finals and that week of football, the Premier League stuff as well. Yeah. Of course, it was amazing at that time. Has this been one of the best knockout phases we've seen?
We have been extremely lucky of what we've seen this year in terms of football. We've seen a Premier League, Rob, of Manchester City and Liverpool going toe-to-toe, playing some outstanding football, putting numbers that we've not seen before. And we wait for midweeks and we go to Europe and Europa League, just the same. And like Chelsea and Arsenal both got there, obviously Chelsea getting a win. But some of the things we've seen in Champions League football, you could not make up.
Yeah.
You could not make up. Barcelona being 3 goals up on Liverpool and Liverpool keeping clean sheet, scoring the goals, and Lionel Messi inspired by... You cannot believe that. You cannot believe where Spurs were against Ajax and with the last kick of a game, Lucas Moura finding a way to get them through. I mean, you cannot script that in Hollywood and people will go, well, it's stupid, isn't it? Because it's never going to happen.
I mean, even going back a little bit further, round of 16, Ajax... You know, beating defending champions Real Madrid 5-3 on aggregate. Ronaldo scoring a hat-trick leads Juventus back from 2-0 deficit against Atletico Madrid. Manchester United, PSG with a 3-1 win in Paris with the help of VAR. So it's not just these two. It's been a brilliant knockout phase for different teams and in different phases of the competition where it's been shocking.
What's been great with European football, so we've seen some of the... older greats, maybe not being the Bayern Munichs, the Juventus, the Barcelonas, not quite being the best. We've seen some younger, newer guns, the Ajaxes of the world. We've seen the English teams look like they're powering back, the Liverpools, the Spurs, the Manchester Cities. Mm. So the whole mix of European football is just in a really interesting place.
Well, we all know it's cyclical football teams.
Yeah.
With Ronaldo getting a little bit older and moving on, and Lionel Messi still being incredible. But is that team in Bayern Munich's kind of going through transition? Is it it's a period right now in European football where English teams could continue to do well because of others are going through some transition? We'll see what Zidane does at Real Madrid. I'm sure he's going to get a ton of money to rebuild that team. Might take a little bit of time. Barcelona feels like it needs some injection of newness somewhere. Bayern Munich again is saying goodbye to some of the older players. And you can look at Man City's side, that's most of them are mid-20s or even a little bit younger. Yeah. Liverpool's kind of drive with the manager they've got, of course Spurs as well. And is it going to be a little period now where English teams look to dominate at the semi-final stage onwards for the next couple of years?
Yeah, they've got the chance, Robert. And what we'll see, and it'll be interesting with English football, is obviously keeping hold and encouraging, enticing great managers, great young coaches into English football is important, as we've seen with Klopp, as we've seen with Pochettino, as we've seen with Pep. Bringing big-name players, the right age, the right, you know, some of these Ajax-type players, these Monaco players we've seen in the past, who are going to come into this league and take us on another level.
Yeah.
And we want to see the development of young English players, the Harry Winkses of the world. We want to see them developing and coming through, and Declan Rice and all that, those qualities. So it's just a great time for English football, great time for European football. And I'd agree, we've probably had the best European competition that certainly I can remember in Champions League format.
All right, my friend, we'll take a good look at both football clubs in the final and where they go from here. But let's first get some words from one of our sponsors. Don't take a chance of being stranded. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and get your battery tested. It's free of charge and one of the many services available if your battery needs to be replaced. The professional parts people will help you find the exact battery for your car or truck. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Is it possible to say what is the most satisfying thing about what you've achieved tonight yet?
No, but satisfying. I'm happy for the boys. So look, well, you know what people said about a couple of players of this team and stuff like that. And Jordan Henderson is captain of the Champions League winner 2019. That's satisfying, actually. That all these boys, that Millie did it at the age of 33, I think, as one of the most. So they're all very important. But I can say it again, without Millie's, dressing room talks before the game with a non-native English, a non-native co-manager, I think it would not be possible. So it's so important, all the things what they did during the weeks, how they lifted them when we had little downs and stuff like that. That's just incredible. So tonight it's really emotional. That's my main feeling. It's that overwhelming, all that stuff. It feels really good, but I'm much calmer than I thought I would be when it finally happened. So it was not important to me really to touch the cup or whatever. I loved the pictures when the boys had it. I loved it when I saw a few faces in the stands. That was what gave me everything I need. And but tomorrow, going to Liverpool and having something to celebrate, that's big. And I'm really looking forward to that.
Okay, Rob, so those were really reflections of Jurgen Klopp, having won his first Champions League, his first piece of silverware for Liverpool. And you know, the thing that stands out for me more than anything else, he's a player's manager. He loves his group of players.
Just a remarkable job over... What's the seasons now? Is it three seasons?
Three and a half.
Just a steady progression. Of course, their remarkable season in the Premier League, getting 97 points and being behind United, of course, Man City by 1 point. Yeah. And now winning this, it feels like they deserve something from this season because they've been so great. Where they go from here and how they try and improve is difficult because it's hard. You know,
it starts becoming about detail now, doesn't it?
It's about flat out Premier League, isn't it, for next season?
Detail of who makes them better, what makes them better. You know, you talk about the Jurgen Klopp era, and I don't want to go back to harbouring a point, but my kind of Mauricio Sarri's won the Europa League at Chelsea and deserves to be at the football club, and you can hopefully see where he's trying to take it. Jurgen Klopp is just a natural fit for this football club. If there was ever a person and a manager made. He's now going to be in the rarefied air of, and Brendan got close to it, and others have got close to it. He's going to have the Jurgen Klopp flag in the cup for the rest of time. That's what he's done already. Rarefied air. And in some respects, Rob, what I think he's done is not given Liverpool, I was trying to think, he's re-energised this club. He's got it back. He's given it back its football identity. Not always giving it back. Not given, because I still think this worked too, but we grew up and knew what Liverpool were and stuff for and the way they were. They're getting back to that. When I think of Liverpool, they're properly back now.
They're back.
Yeah.
They're back as a superpower.
But getting back is winning Premier League titles, isn't it? That's what actually getting back is.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what... But they were such a challenge this season.
Yeah,
it's almost... They're pretty much there.
Correct.
You know, where they haven't been in the past, and now Liverpool again is one of the very best teams in European football, and of course in the Premier League is what they want to win next. And they've made such progression. And I know you're just going to jump in, but before I forget, the ownership, John Henry. I mean, what a great job! What a year they've had, by the way. Boston Red Sox World Series champions.
Thought you'd get Boston in,
We got a bit of that in, and we've talked about ownership before a lot on this podcast, Rob, and how important the ownership is, and how much the owners want to win.
That's Manchester United. That's some of these big clubs,
Owners that want to win. Manchester City, Chelsea owner wants to win every single season if he can win something, and now you're seeing it at Liverpool Football Club. It's such an important factor. Recruiting the right guys, the right football structure, realising there's a different football structure at the club and a commercial structure at the football club.
Yeah.
Brilliantly done. Michael Edwards, the director of football there. They've just got good people in all the good spots, rolls on from that.
Seems like good football people as well, though, Rob. Not just good people, good football people who understand what it is. And you're 100% right. And I'll just go back to our last podcast because I think I need to make a point that I was talking with, actually it was a Liverpool fan when we were watching the game, how important this trophy was. And I remember I was having another saying, who did it mean more to?
Yeah.
And in fact, the more I thought about it, it meant more to Liverpool, didn't it? Because now you're talking about Liverpool, going to win Premier League titles. You're talking about Klopp. He's taking that first step with his football. Yeah. This could be the platform for Liverpool now for the next 5 or 6 years. If with that ownership, with the manager, with the right players brought in, they've got a young group of players. I looked through the team. I was thinking about Liverpool now. Attack. Front three to die at times when they're all on the game. Additions will come in, and Origi's proved that, you know what, there might be a role for him. Mm-hmm. Defend. This team now loves to defend, by the way. They love clean sheets like they used to love scoring goals. The intensity with what they can play. He mentioned a word, Klopp, towards the end of the season. The hunger with which his team play. James Milner, at his age, at his stage of his career, with the money that he's probably made and the medals that he's got, shouldn't be this hungry.
Well, and Jurgen Klopp, interesting, talking about Millie, as he said in the interview after the game, like that he's such an important player, that his pre-game dressing room chats with the team is basically incredibly important, that he didn't think he could get there and win today based on these conversations, if James Milner wasn't doing that. Yeah. So even James Milner that didn't start in the game, it's nice to get a little bit of insight from the manager about what goes on in the dressing room, who are the leaders and what they do. James Milner has been there and done everything. I mean, he's what a guy to look up to. So that's really important as well. I think it'd be good to look ahead a little bit too.
For Liverpool?
Yeah. Okay. And you talk about drive and desire and the manager, we know all that. Challenging Manchester City again for next season. After experiencing this season and watching Manchester City win their last 14 games, by the way, to win the title by 1 point.
Yeah.
Mentally, two things. Mentally, are you confident they're going to be good to go again and revamp and re-energise for a Premier League campaign? And on the other side of things, maybe more importantly, recruitment. Yeah. What needs to happen but what could they, should they do to freshen things, to improve things in which areas of the team?
We've talked about this. His goalkeeper sound sorted.
Good as gold.
Back four, not in bad shape. Two great fullbacks, Van Dijk, Matip, Gomez, back fit.
Yeah. I'm just thinking about another centre-back.
Not in bad shape, really.
Really good,
Maybe if you bring a young one in, who you're going to wear under 23 type one, not the worst thing in the world, but they're not in bad shape.
If the fullbacks get injured,
go in there.
Alexander-Arnold, because Joe Gomez can play there.
You've got Millie.
Yeah, I know.
Go in and do a job. But although, I know what you mean.
Joe Gomez can do that.
Maybe one who...
Left back.
Yeah, left back. If Moreno...
If he stays.
Is a little bit short of where you want him.
He might be a young one,
let's say, you think you can drop in there.
Yeah, midfield.
Midfield. A midfield passing creative force somewhere along the lines of Kevin De Bruyne. And you can't get De Bruyne, is it? And then we know there's a one-off. But somebody who can see a pass. Somebody who might not have quite all that energy and intensity. But the Xabi Alonso.
Totally agree.
Just look up and
that
go.
That midfield three in an ideal balance.
Yeah.
It'll be a Fabinho type, Fernandinho type, that
correct
guy.
Yeah.
Defensive has guy that can play a little bit good on the ball, but he reads things, he cuts things off. You want a goal threat, got to have a goal threat, and then a player.
Naby Keita could be the goal threat.
Wijnaldum,
we've seen, has a goal threat.
And Henderson potentially can be a goal threat player in there. A little Xabi Hernandez from Barcelona. Xabi Alonso, the former Liverpool guy. Somebody that can play a little bit, can get the ball and can dictate and can clip balls over the top. He can slide those balls between defenders for those brilliant wingers to get on the outside. Yuri Tielemans, by the way.
The last year.
They're interested.
Yeah.
Sure whether he's can step into that team, Rob, and
but it's a good age group, isn't it?
He's young, right? He's 21, 22,
isn't
he?
Let me just tuck in as well. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain.
He'll be a goal threat guy.
Yeah,
he's not your technical playmaking guy.
He's got drive, he's got a little bit of pace, and he can finish.
Henderson can sit and hold. Fabinho can sit and hold. Wijnaldum can do it. They're in great shape there, but somebody a little bit different in midfield that can playmake.
Just gives them a different option, different day. And you asked the question, and I want to answer it about, confidence, how far they can push City. Let's just remember a couple of facts. They lost one game all season. City lost four. They drew seven.
City beat them 2-1.
They drew seven games. Take three of those draws out, they win the title. They've won a Champions League. That has got to give them the belief that, you know what?
That they're close.
Yeah. We're even closer than City might think. And we can topple you.
Front three. The two white boys, no problem. Happy, great lads, great production, no problems, decent age.
Enough.
Firmino, striker, Origi. Now, it looks like Sturridge is going to leave the football club.
Yeah.
Can they find somebody, Rob? Maybe a young... I don't know. Or has it got to be a finished article to put pressure on Firmino? Is he that undroppable?
He is when he's on. But we've got to think of... We've got to try and make him better. Got to think of competitions. He's a lot of games. You need to bring like-for-like quality. And is Origi the man? Come up with some huge goals for them. But is he consistently the right guy? We don't know. I like your idea of a young one. And so far, let's be honest, the scouting system at Liverpool has produced for him
on basic terms.
There's a profile of player. They get good ages. They understand. They might have one. They might nick one from somewhere in France, in Belgium, in Germany. There might be one of those players that they can go and work with who can just bring that something to you.
There's no worry that Mane or Mo Salah might want to try something else somewhere else and be attractive. Real Madrid might try and grab a couple of those
I've got to tell you right now, Rob.
It's a fun place to be, Liverpool.
Not yet. Give me 18 months, 2 years, and if things don't quite go as you think, it might. But right now, where they are, there's not many better places to be in European football.
And we've gone through it there. And it's tough to see how they can improve that team. Mm. But a playmaking midfield player, Rob.
Absolutely. Gives you a whole different...
It's somebody they haven't got.
Yeah.
It's somebody they haven't got. All other spots, you can say, well, there's a bit of cover there.
Yeah.
There's good age there. Yeah. But in terms of our midfield, and maybe in those draws, Robbie Earle, maybe at those draws, you get a little playmaker... Mm.
Who sees slides a ball through, doesn't he?
Philippe Coutinho. Was there ever a chance that he could come back to the football club?
No. And I hope he doesn't.
Barcelona, it's not really worked for him.
It's not the right move.
But he is the creative type, or is he not?
Yeah, but then we're...
Or do you want more of a midfield player?
Yeah, I want a midfield player. We're starting to adjust that three... He's not got the working intensity of the thing. He's not particularly a passer. I think he's a great player. Listen, great player, but great business to get the money he did. Mm. And somehow it's kind of moved on from Coutinho.
But someone like a Tielemans, or somebody just under the radar somewhere, Rob, that could come into this team with that manager that makes people better and that work ethic around, that you might not think of, could do a really good job there.
Also, we might not have seen the full exposure of the ability. Oxlade-Chamberlain was a great example of that. Came from Arsenal. We all know he was a decent player. Yeah. We've seen enough of him. But he got into that Liverpool environment.
He looked at different level.
Saw other things. That's exactly right.
And that's what we might see with somebody else.
Correct. We think he's a decent player.
Exactly.
Good young kid. And then he goes in that environment. He works with Klopp. We know Klopp doesn't rush them in. It might take 6-7 weeks before he starts to really blood you in and get you to the Liverpool way. Mm. But we might just find one.
Jordan Henderson.
Wow.
Lifts the trophy.
Wow.
In tears afterwards. Wow. Hugging his dad for, it seemed like, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
What a great story. What a great professional. What a great story of keep going. You know, when some people think you're a Liverpool kind of echelon player. Mm. Keeps going. Keeps driving. He's different positions that he plays in. And why don't we hear from him, Rob? Because we've got a little bit of sound of Jordan Henderson speaking with passion right after the game.
Without the manager, this is impossible. He go through tough times through seasons, but what he's done since he's come to this football club is unbelievable. Not only the players that he's brought in to make the squad stronger, the players that were already here, he's made better. And such a togetherness in the group, and he's created a special dressing room. All the praise, everything goes to the manager.
A little special moment for you as well, one that will live forever. You walk up to lift the trophy that Emin Hughes picked up twice, Phil Thompson once, Graham Souness once, Steven Gerrard, and now they're adding your name to that list. That's fantastic.
Yeah, you know, I'm just so, like I said before, I'm so proud to be part of this football club. I've been here a long time now, but to captain it is even more special for me, you know. It means everything to us football since I was a kid. And, I've just tried to give my best every time I play football and help my team no matter what. Through tough times, and it's been difficult over my career, but I kept going, just like this team's kept going. And you have moments like this, this is what you do it for, you know. This is the best moment in my life, apart from my children. This is the best moment in my life. This is what I've dreamt of since a kid. And I just like I said, thank you to everyone, you know, especially my mum and dad, my family, my kids at home, Alexa and Alba, I love you. But like, it's not about me. It's not about me, you know. It's not about me captaining, lifting the trophy. It's special, of course, for me. But it's not about that. It's about this football club. It's about these players. It's about this manager. And now we need to keep going and kick on.
Well, there's no doubting, Rob, the emotion, the passion, the pride with which Jordan Henderson wears that yellow captain's armband for Liverpool Football Club. And I was hearing yesterday and reading, you know, is it Phil Thompson, Graeme Souness, Stevie G, Jordan Henderson.
Good for him.
Liverpool captains. What's
some names there?
I mean, yeah. And the thing about Jordan Henderson was, and we've had the Stevie G final, and you know, we had the Michael Owen League Cup final, and we've had, you know, players named after it. And then yesterday's Champions League final kind of had Jordan Henderson stamped on it. And let me, the reason why I say this is it was down, it was earthy, it was gritty, it was not very fashionable, it was who's going to make sure they get over the line. And it was a bit like, I felt Jordan Henderson brings a little bit of old-fashioned, a bit of the dressing room we had back in the day. And I never like keep harping on about it, but that where somebody's going to make sure you're at it and do a, I think that's what Jordan Henderson brings. I think that's an important element of Liverpool Football Club.
Leaders. Yeah. And James Milner, we talked about, being that same guy that can go back to memories and reasons for success early in his career at different football clubs and what that takes.
Yeah.
And we know what it takes. Of course, it takes a ton of ability and skill and everything else and the money to bring in some of these top players. But you need that character. You need that determination and that guy that's going to rev people up and make sure they're at it, you know, every single week to get through. Through in the Premier League and in the Champions League. So I just think it's a good story for Jordan Henderson.
Great story.
You're right, it wasn't a game for Mo Salah and for Mane and to be silky, and Firmino looked disappointed when he came off. But who cares? It's not about that. It goes back to expectations for the game. It didn't disappoint me that it wasn't a great game, because what do you expect? You know, it's just what it is, and it's all about the result. And that's what it was. And Liverpool went on and got that second goal with Divock Origi. Finished it really nicely with his left foot inside the post there to make it 2-0. And it kind of felt at that point, Rob, like, that's it. Show us you're the better. Penalty still had just annoyed me.
I didn't really want to win. I didn't want that game to be the deciding factor.
Show me, Liverpool. Show me you're better. Yeah. Show me you can still go on and score another goal. And they did. So totally deserved. Excellent for Liverpool. And just as before we transitioned to Spurs, Rob, with a bigger picture, just again for next season, is it all about the Premier League for Liverpool now? Is that the remaining thing that Jurgen Klopp has got to try and focus 100% to bring back to Anfield? Well,
he goes from hero worship to godlike worship if he can land that Premier League. And that's the target now. Mm. Just like Pep was saying it in Man City, well, you know, it's harder to win the Premier League. He wants a Champions League. And just however Klopp would want to wrap it up, however Liverpool fans would say, and it was a brilliant sixth European campaign for them, and fitting that they got something after the season they had in Chase City so hard, landing the Premier League title has not been done at Liverpool Football Club. Has not been done, Rob. And if Jurgen Klopp delivers it, forever King Klopp.
Yeah, and you just sense that when it's the season kicks off next year at Anfield and stuff, there's going to be drive, there's going to be excitement, maybe a play or two to add into it. But this Liverpool isn't going anywhere.
No.
This isn't Liverpool that had to strain every sinew to try and win this. Yeah.
And then we're going to see them fourth and fifth next year. It's not going to happen, is it?
No, it's not going to happen.
We're not going to get that drop off.
They're in great shape to go on next season as well and have another fantastic season. We will see. Tottenham Hotspur, Robbie Earle.
Yes,
sum them up. Sum up their season.
Success. Difficult, come through huge difficult periods, and there's been plenty written, said, and spoke about the stadium, the no transfers, the reluctance on Harry Kane, whether the manager's going to be there, whether the top players are there, is he everything? There's been all that conversation, and let's shove that to the side. Tottenham Hotspur have got Champions League football next season, guaranteed. Job done, first directive of the season. Have got to a Champions League final at think and just think about some of this and the size of clubs who haven't made it to the final. We've talked about the Barcelonas and Juventus and Bayern Munich and da 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 da, and they just missed out on winning the Champions League final.
Yeah, fourth in the Premier League.
Success, Robert.
They got knocked out by Chelsea in the League Cup semi-finals.
Yeah.
Absolutely success. And the whole football club is screaming success and achievement. One of the best training
stadium.
Grounds. Best training ground we've
right.
ever been to.
Correct.
And now one of the best stadiums around the world right now.
Correct.
And everything else. Now, we've said this stuff before, but it should be reiterated because their budget, that's the sixth highest, we think. The numbers come out and they're kind of a year behind. But they were the sixth, like the season before, this one that's just finished, they were the sixth highest. So to do what they're doing, to get to that Champions League final in different scenarios, they had 1 point after the first three games in the group stages.
No one's ever done it, apparently.
And they kept, like, conceding late goals, and we come on our show and we're like, God, they've got to learn to close things out and given silly. They played so well in certain games and lost points because of late goals, and still to find a way through with this squad that we said in times in the Premier League, Rob, were limping over the line. They were exhausted team, and to get this far, it was just one hurdle too far for them.
Absolutely. And listen, I think for Spurs at the moment, third place finish in the league is their winning a title. They're not good enough yet to be in the top two positions. They're not there yet, Rob.
Mm.
They haven't got the depth of squad. If they were going to go for a top two finish, they'd almost have to give up every other competition, play weaker teams in the domestic cups, and not go strong in the Champions League.
Unlucky, by the way, that the era right now that they've got a great team, and you've got these two outstanding teams.
Yeah,
I mean
that
98 and 97 points in the Premier League. This Spurs team, you sort of say, you know, they're not good enough. Well, crikey, unlucky with timing then, because they are good enough to be right up there and win a Premier League title.
But this era,
you've got two outstanding teams.
And you're going to make the most of whatever. Manchester United going through turmoil, Spurs have to push on again. Arsenal have got issues, Spurs have to push on again. They've got to nail their position and start to claw back, Rob. That's a big thing. How do they claw back the gap between them, Man City and Liverpool? That's the big thing. How and if Jurgen Klopp's taken 3.5-4 years to get where he is in this product now, this product is ready to go for Premier League. They've won the Champions League. Pochettino's kind of taken a little bit longer, less money, less resource, and got himself in a prime position. But there's a probably 19-point gap.
So how do they? So in terms of trying to close that gap, right? Hard to improve the best 11 at Spurs,
correct,
given their salary restraints.
Yeah, you've got to go big time player that they're not going to do with
that's
the stuff.
That's tough,
with it,
right? And then we could also argue that the team has looked tired. The strength of the squad hasn't been good enough to rotate and rest key players.
Correct.
So in that regard, they could bring in some squad,
similar
squad players that aren't going to make the 11 better, but maybe in games
fat
them out a little bit, so Eriksen can take a proper break, or so can Kane or Dele or different players.
And they don't get a drop off.
And they don't drop off so much. They win games against some of the lower sides. You manage it that way to close the gap. Yes, of course, they'd love to bring in and find a blimmin' star player from French second division to make them a ton better, but that's difficult to do.
Let me throw two questions at you. Two players. Christian Eriksen.
Right. Contract's up.
What happens between him and Spurs?
Don't know. Massive. It's a massive few weeks. It's a massive month. It's a massive window. He's such a good player.
Let me throw one other at you. Dele Alli. Is he worth the weight? Is the upside of Dele Alli worth
I think it is.
But Dele Alli will have to start to show the consistency that De Bruyne shows, that David Silva showed, because that's the position
does he have that quality, Rob,
well,
I wonder?
That's kind of where I'm saying. At his very best,
brilliant,
in a different way, he's not quite the De Bruyne with the passing.
No.
But he's got the energy, the running. He's a brilliant timing of runs from deep.
Exactly. His goal scoring and ability around the box sometimes of bringing balls down. He's tall. He's well over 6 foot.
He's got to become almost like a Frank Lampard-esque, hasn't he?
Yeah.
That guy who influences in that way.
And that's between him and the manager to try and find that form again. Was it two seasons ago, Rob? We said it. 18 Premier League goals. And we were like, wow, this kid's going to be. And I don't know, for whatever reason, again, you could argue that he shouldn't have started that game. You could have thrown more, and you could have rotated, and you could have put Heung-min Son at the top or in the number 10 position. You could have rearranged that team. Mm. In some ways, a bit of a better fit, because Dele played on the outside position. And you kind of switched to number 10 and going outside, where Son could have done the outside position, or Moura could have done more of that, and then Son on the other side. So there's ways that you could have set this team up without Dele Alli, but it does give you that all-round. He's a midfield player. Yeah. He's got a little bit of fight in him. He's got the physicality. And, he's got height. He makes those runs. We're not seeing the very best of him right now. Christian Eriksen, by the way, is another important piece of business.
You've got to build around him, haven't you? You don't want to be letting people like Christian Eriksen out of your football club.
So it's obviously this is going to go into his final year where they could lose him on a free. So now the next month is when he either signs a new contract or whether they say, right, Christian, you don't want to sign. Okay, we can't give any more money. We're going to have to sell you.
But what did you say earlier about Liverpool and what thing? Ownership. The ownership of Spurs Football Club have to now decide which way they're going. Mm. Are they real deal? Are they going to start to look to challenge and keep hold? Because you sell Christian Eriksen, you send a message.
We just talked about 10 minutes about Liverpool, what they need in midfield.
Yeah.
Christian Eriksen.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah.
He's that creative guy.
He could be. But you sell one of your best key players.
No, you're not. I'm not saying it would happen, but just as a fit player.
Absolutely right. And it's interesting, Rob. We're talking about the players. We're talking about Spurs. The whole Spurs thing, as much as any individual in that football club resonates with Pochettino. It's interesting, Rob, and he was asked after the game, obviously disappointed, about his future and the club's future, and this was his response.
What can you say for the fans that have supported you through thick and thin, and you keep talking about the future? And obviously, there's been a lot of talk about your future in the background. I know you're not focused on it ahead of this, but can you tell the fans that you're excited to lead the future on in the coming seasons?
I think it's not a moment now to talk too much because we can interpret it, or you can interpret the thing in different way. Some people want to be clever and want to compare me with different manager, and they don't know that we are in complete different project and different position and different place. But the people want to be more clever than they want to give up an opinion without argument. You know, after 5 years in Tottenham, was so clear the project, so clear. Our ambition was amazing, and the commitment for our player were amazing, and provided the club to play for first time in the history a Champions League final. But now it's about to stay calm and start to change the mood and change the our mind. And for sure, we are going to have time to talk.
Now, the only thing that bothered me a little bit about that interview, Rob, the question about his future, I would have expected a different response, maybe of...
Do you want more positivity?
Instead of, well, I don't want to say anything now to be misconstrued, or... I mean, Juventus are looking for a manager. And he's right near the top of...
Are we reading too much? Is it a tactic? Is he sort of putting that out to Daniel Levy, almost
To nudge him.
Yeah, these others out here. I'd love to stay.
I can't totally see my future, because it might change.
Correct.
Unless you start giving me some money and we start improving things.
Didn't
it's
he
a
say
different
one time
project
about,
all the time, isn't he talks
you know,
about?
A little while ago, a couple of months ago, maybe 6 weeks, he talked about wanting to compete and wanting to be kind of have the tools to be able to
a
go
different
with
project.
Balls. Yeah. I still think his future and Spurs' future is together. I still think they're aligned. I still think these good things that can happen for this football club. I'd love him in the football club to win a cup, to stop all this, oh, Pochettino can't win anything. Go and win the League Cup next February. Mm. Lift it, put that to bed, show people that you can win a trophy, and people will then say, oh, it's only the League Cup. He's won. It's silverware. We end that silly Poch can't manage argument.
Is there anything in Pochettino that's thinking to himself, wow, you know, we got to a Champions League final. We're in the Premier League right now with these two outstanding teams. I'm not sure where I can go from here with this club, Rob. Is it, well, like, I might need to move on.
Some of the places he'll
it's
go,
a
Rob.
Tough spot for him to make this team better.
Yeah, unless he's given the support and finance. There's some places he could go, bigger way bigger clubs, and no disrespect to Spurs, but way, you know, Manchester United, he could go to.
They could go to Juventus. They could go to Juventus, a few clubs.
Exactly. Yeah. Bayern Munich. Bigger clubs.
Yeah.
You know, top-end clubs. But clubs in transitions. Clubs that need work. Clubs that need some of this stuff. He had to go in at Spurs and sort out.
But how good is he at that? He's great at that.
But you're not going to get the success during those early periods. It might be 3 years before he gets success.
Yeah, but
would he be better putting 3 more years in at Spurs with the support?
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
At Bayern Munich or Juventus, cash, mate. He's gonna get. So he'll sort out what he needs to sort out, and then the money comes in for the big time players that he wants at Spurs. So you can say that that those clubs are in transition. It's a difficult job for him. Would he be better off staying at Spurs? But he'll know in time the money will come to try and produce a team that can win everything. I mean, they've come so close. Like you don't want to think that he might feel, I've taken Spurs as far as I can.
Yeah.
I hope he stays on.
Yeah,
massive respect for what he's done. We know that. We've gone over the money. We've gone over the way this club has grown. But it goes back to ownership and how much they're particularly, that they're now going to kind of almost mortgage on the future of the revenues of this stadium and what they've done in the Champions League, the money they boosted from this year to get this far. Spurs can potentially become a super club. They can fill out that stadium. The match day revenue is phenomenal. The TV money is phenomenal.
Everything's ready to go, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everything's ready to go now at that football club.
Yeah, so it's just how much money is the stadium going to take away from developing the team? And we saw it at Arsenal. Again, reports say that there's still a bunch of money, quite a lot of money that Kapoch will get in the summer to make it stronger. And we're absolutely clear on this. It does need new players now, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah.
Enough now.
It needs the next, remarkably well, Rob.
Playing at Wembley, all the fans and the players travelling to that stadium every time, like an away game, and to get what they've done this season with all those circumstances is remarkable.
But the manager deserves it now, Rob. He's shown what he can do. Yeah. He now deserves a chance to kind of have a go. To have a go with this group of players.
Christian Eriksen again, though, isn't it? That's a massive kind of signpost. Yeah. Are we going to sign this guy?
If in a couple of weeks we are reading and all the things coming out as Christian Eriksen signed for Spurs, boom.
Yeah.
Feels like boom.
Yeah.
If we're reading Christian Eriksen, agent is talking and it looks like he's going to leave, I think we start worrying a little.
Well, what do they need, Spurs? Again, because real quick to go through the team. I mean, it's good in a lot of areas, isn't it?
They might need a right back if Trippier goes.
He's been disappointed.
He's talked about, I think, talking to Napoli and the likes. Might be a back like Danny Rose. Might need a. I mean, they've got Davinson Sanchez and in Wan Foyt, who are still in good shape.
Front players: Moura, Son, Lamella, Kane.
Not bad. Would like another one there. Would like another goal scorer one. If there's one available.
It's Dele again, isn't it? I mean, we talk about goals for midfield.
Yeah. And Eriksen, if he stays, makes that whole thing
creativity
different.
Yeah.
If Eriksen goes, we're looking at different things. So these work to be done, these targets to be got. But you know, that's what Spurs are going to have to do if they want to be, you know, lifting trophies like Liverpool and Manchester City and going on to the next stage.
Psychologically for them next season?
Got to be top four again. I would say third place is listen, they've got to start to look like they can win it, but yeah. A top three finish.
The whole season in their stadium, Robbie Earl.
Yeah. Could be a massive lift. Could be a massive lift, Robbie. People have talked about it being like something special when you're in there and the noise is going around it. So, you know, a game from Spurs and obviously disappointing, not so much to look forward
to. But just need a boost of a couple of players. Yeah. Yeah. To give everybody a bit of freshness about it and a bit more excitement from those supporters ready for a new season. But there's no question, full respect for this football club, what they've done with this group and with the manager in difficult circumstances. And every reason to be very proud of what they've done this season.
Absolutely. So respect to both of the teams who got to the Champions League final. But that's it from us. After this year's Champions League final, as ever, we want to hear from you, our listeners, so download the Two Robbies and Apple Podcast. Please rate and review the show. And over the next few weeks, why don't you let us know what you're most looking forward to for the start of the next Premier League season, and we'll read out some of the best suggestions as we get to the start of the big kickoff in August. But on a weekend when Jurgen Klopp won his first piece of silverware as Liverpool manager, in his words, not mine, Let's talk about six, baby. I'm Earl, he's Musto, together with two Robbies. Enjoy your summer. Thanks for listening. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him.
Good night.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.